What's up? Today's episode is brought to you by a good movie. No. Actually, a great movie. I'm talking about a movie that got 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. 99%! That's only 1% from perfection, which in my mind is The Rock's body. I don't want to get into it, but that's the way I think of The Rock, 100% perfection. And this movie is as close to The Rock's body as you could possibly get. I'm talking about, of course, Don't Think Twice. It's Mike Birbiglia's brand new film. You know Mike from the world of stand-up. He is a very talented writer-director. He's teamed up with Ira Glass to make a movie about fame, jealousy, success, all those things through the eyes of an improv team. The movie stars Keegan-Michael Key, Gillian Jacobs, Mike Birbiglia, Chris Gethard, Kate Micucci, and Tammy Sager. It is really, really good. New York Times even said it was great. And Chicago Tribune calls it one of the best movies of the year. The Village Voice says it's the funniest comedy of the summer. So wash the bad taste of any of those movies that you've seen this year that you've been bummed out by with this. This is the antidote to every other shitty summer movie. I'm talking about Don't Think Twice. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll feel like they've talked to you personally. That's right. Don't Think Twice. Also, a quick plug, Jason, June, and I all did an animated pilot that I created with my friend Nick Giovanetti. It is called Bad Guys. You can watch it right now on the Adult Swim website, just for fun. You don't have to do anything else. It's free. It's fun. You can check out where to find it on our Twitter page or also on our Facebook page. But check it out. It's called Bad Guys, and Jason and June are really good in it. I'm in it, too. All right, let's get on with the show. I am rich, but never seen. I am primarily white, yet full of green screen. Who am I? If you guessed the gods of Egypt, you're right. We saw it, and you know what that means. Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just being a hater, because we really wonder how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made? Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? That is Vander Talens with his real band recording our theme song. Give it up for Vander Talens.
That's his real band? Not his fake band?
Well, you know, look, Vander travels with a bunch of different people. It's like, kind of like the E Street Band. It kind of comes and goes. I'm joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
I am very good. I am days away from having a child, which explains why.
You look great.
Thank you.
You look
Thank
great.
You. I feel good.
You're carrying it beautifully.
Been drinking.
Yeah.
Smoking.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Get it
doesn't
done.
Affect anything.
Nope. Yep.
But it does explain why our second co-host is not here. June Diane Raphael, she is on maternity leave.
Yep.
And so that's that. And after this episode, we're going to go on a brief 2 to 3 week maternity leave. So Jason, you can just
stay here
childless.
I'll be here, no kids, alone, crying in the studio, talking to whoever wants to talk to me about whatever bad movies they've seen.
but we have a very special show today. Not one guest, but two guests from one of my favorite podcasts. If you've not listened to it, you got to check it out. It's called Throwing Shade. Please welcome Brian Safi and Aaron Gibson.
Yay!
Dang.
Thanks. Hooray. What an intro.
Yeah. I'm very
Jason,
excited to have you guys.
What's up?
Do you have anything to say about our podcast?
I love your podcast.
Thank you.
Well, if you love their podcast, you can go see them live. They're touring
what?
Right now. Yes.
Yeah. Touring the country?
That's
the country.
Right. Go to throwingshade.com.
Sleeping in different beds around United States.
Just slutting up the country.
Slutting it up.
We will talk more about their tour in a little bit. But let's get into Gods of Egypt.
Ooh, I need to apologize.
This was a Jason Mantzoukas recommendation.
This was a Jason Mantzoukas recommendation because I caught part of it on HBO recently and was like, oh, we should do this. And then when I went to watch it, I realized I had watched part of Exodus Gods and Kings, the Ridley Scott movie that is also a nonsensical all white people in an environment in which everybody would not be white.
Well, this is an interesting point. Well, I think we stumbled upon something beautiful here.
Oh, yes. This was, when I started watching this, I was like, wait a minute, I thought Christian Bale was, and then I was like, oh no, this is terrible.
Well, in case you haven't seen the movie, take everything you know about Egyptian mythology and forget it completely. because I think the only thing that you need to know is that maybe Egypt exists. So they don't even really get the pyramids. There's really very little.
There's a Sphinx.
Yeah, there's a Sphinx. Oh, yeah, that's good. And anyway, it's about two brothers, one good, one bad. The bad one, Set, that's right, Set, tries to take over the world. And the good one with one eye, Horus, tries to stop it.
That's his nephew. I'm already going
to
correct
you. Okay, sorry. His nephew tries to stop it with a mortal who is waiting to bring, who's just wanting to bring back his dead girlfriend. That's basically, I mean,
sort of.
There are so many subplots, boring subplots.
Yeah,
very
that
boring.
Have no like it was literally like first draft on mescaline.
It was also so many meet cutes.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there were so many times where everyone was flirting, even when the dialogue, even when no one else was around, it was like a flirty.
And well, everybody's constantly running into each other.
Yeah.
Like we're talking like an expanse of land that is enormous with millions of people plus the underworld. World.
Yes.
Like, and everybody's constantly like, oh, you're here too. Oh, look at this. Isn't this wild? We're running into each other here.
50% of this movie is people walking into things and seeing people, and then other 50% is things that they've walked into falling down.
Yes. All of which is green screen.
Oh.
Like, this is a movie that, like, must have been just shot in a green screen prison for these people.
I called this movie, like, a platform movie because it's like, all they had was a platform. It's like, all right, you're all on this.
Yeah.
And don't worry. And then there's the skies exploding.
And it was all just like so smooth and shiny. It just felt like Scottsdale, like just like really like upper class, shishi like desert.
I would love to set this entire movie in Scottsdale. Gods of Scottsdale. Everything's the same. We haven't yet talked about the fact that the gods are 25 feet tall and the mortals are not. And that's a real thing that happens through the whole movie.
Yeah.
Jaime Lannister is 25 feet tall, and the human guy he's running around with the whole time is a normal dude. Or a normal Hollywood actor, so probably 5'1".
Yeah.
Yeah, it's opposite Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that
was jarring.
And it also never works.
Never
that, like
looked
the
good.
Giant person with this. It never has looked good in any movie.
I don't like POV shots of just looking down on the
It must have made shooting it very difficult.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean.
No, remember, you got to look down when you talk to him. You're down further. Your eye line is way down here.
And this guy only had one eye, so it's even harder. All right, so I want to just ask a general question. Because this is when I started watching this, is like, are you ever excited to see a movie like this? Like an Egyptian?
Always.
Always. Really?
And I have to be honest with you. Always. Yes. I think I saw Exodus, Gods. I love biblical epics.
Okay.
I'm not a religious person at all. But I love the Ten Commandments. I love Ben-Hur. I saw Exodus.
What
it was
do you
terrible.
Like about them?
I think just the scale, just the absurd, the dialogue never matches the scale of what they're doing. It's always so pedestrian. And
or like modern, like... there was one moment where a tiny man was like, whoa, 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 calm down, everybody. I was like, no one's ever said that in Egypt.
Yeah. Ancient Egypt.
Ancient Egypt.
Well, the first scene where our mortal, you know, meets up with his girlfriend, I'm like, wait, what? It took me by surprise because it was so jarring how casual they were.
I know. Very
it
casual.
Was you could have just replaced the scenery and put this in like a regular like rom-com and about
completely
fine.
The first 10 minutes of this movie is shocking. Like I mean, because it really
I stopped it like three times. Like, wait, I got to rewind it. Did I miss it? I don't
because the dialogue's so cute and Gerard. But everyone, no one's accents match at all.
No, not at all.
I want to play Gerard Butler's accent because Gerard Butler is like. I'm not changing the fact that I'm Scottish.
Yeah.
By the way, I won't do that.
But even his own accent is inconsistent throughout the movie. His real voice is inconsistent.
It doesn't match anything.
Check out, this is Gerard Butler's accent.
Wait. Sorry I'm late. Oh, 3 days to cross the desert. And nearly one more to pass through all your admirers.
Set.
Brother. Good to see you.
And you, this brother. There's always a place for you here.
Such a big day for the family.
This is in front of millions of people.
Oh,
they're on a stage in front of millions of people at a king's coronation ceremony.
And this opening line, wait, sorry I'm late.
Sorry I'm late.
It was like that show, Thank God You're Here. Yeah. You remember that horrible improv? It was like, yes. Felt like that.
He's what? Like, hey guys, my bad.
But also, they're speaking in a voice even lighter than what we're speaking
so
in.
So casual.
And the audience all heard that joke.
Yeah,
like,
laughing.
Yeah, they're like,
killed it.
So are gods just naturally amplified? Because they're presenting, but they're just like, all right, so we're going to coronate the king today. And they're like, ah! Like,
yeah.
There's no yelling. There's no pomp and circumstance. And they're in a field bigger than like Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
Talking at a normal volume.
They're about to put the crown on Jaime Lannister's head. And Gerard Butler shows up, as we just heard. And they then proceed to have an intimate four-person conversation on the dais or whatever they are on in front of millions of people who are just rapt watching them undergo like family drama, basically.
It would be like if you went to go see like if you went to go see Hamilton and then like Lin-Manuel's like mom came on stage and was like, hey baby, you forgot your sandwich. It was like that
going,
level.
The show's going great tonight. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Mom. You know,
really, and then everyone in the audience is like, ooh.
Everyone was still as invested as
no
they were in
any
Hamilton.
Questions. No.
It was such a strange choice for the director to be like, so at this coronation, we're going to be at our most casual.
Yeah. Yes.
Like we're just,
this is, you just came in. It's like you're grabbing a snack from the kitchen. It really, that scene. And again, it's these first couple of scenes that you're like, all right, what is going on? Like, so I can't get the tone.
They're setting up nothing except for the fact that everyone's related. So when Gerard Butler turns on his brother, which as you can see from the beginning, the confusing family tree that happens when you're like, wait, who's related
to
who?
Everybody's ages were wrong because Gerard Butler's brother is played by Brian Brown.
Yeah. Yes.
Who is a much, much older actor.
Yes. Yeah.
And Gerard Butler is the uncle of Jaime Lannister.
And they're the same age.
They appear to me to be the same age.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Rush is the grandfather who I believe is the same age as Brian Brown.
100%.
I was like, what's doing here?
Is Jeffrey Rush Zeus?
No, he's Ra.
Ra.
Ra. He's the sun god.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I wish
but
it was Zeus.
Called?
Then we'd have a Greek pantheon of gods come down and kick these gods' ass.
It's true.
That's what I'm talking about.
Man, can your gods turn into battle armor?
Can they turn into like Iron Man with animal heads? No, Greek gods can't do that because that's ludicrous.
Or are Greek gods. Oh, go ahead, go ahead.
This is skipping ahead, but there was a literal Iron Man moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was that.
And then the end when they put his heart in.
Yep.
That was just like, you just basically...
Iron Man did.
I would have rather watched them stop the film, put in that scene from Iron Man, then start the film again.
Because yep. he's when he does do that thing, he's like dipped into boiling hot lava.
Yep.
And they're putting in pieces. But this is the thing I was so confused by, and this will kind of run throughout the whole movie. Are these Egyptian gods... Pieces can be taken out like Legos.
Well, that's a
like,
thing.
They no big deal. Plink, yeah.
Plop, so rip them at out. At the end of the coronation, Gerard Butler pulls Jaime Lannister's eyes out. Mm-hmm. And the eyes come out like they're from a car, spark plugs. They come out like they're blue glowing spark plugs, like they unscrew.
Yeah. And meanwhile, his eyes...
Because later he gets them and just pops them back in like screw, screw, screw. Uh-oh, my eyes work again.
And also, you would think that maybe it would do something to his eyes when they were in because there are these blue glowing orbs. But nope. Just totally normal eyes. There's nothing even special about anything.
Well, no,
nothing.
He has special eyes because he can see. You remember when you see his point of view, he can like zoom in on things.
He's got eagle eyes.
Didn't happen. And it happened like twice.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to get.
And far enough away where you forgot that was a thing he could do.
Correct.
Yes.
Also, this is skipping before, but I think the opening line of the movie is something like,
get ready, this is gonna
like,
suck.
Is like, yeah. It was like, let me see how much of this I can recall. Yeah. Literally. And it was like, what?
Wait, because the narrator is the mortal as an old man,
yes.
right?
Was it Jeremy totally Irons? It sounded like Jeremy Irons.
Yes.
Oh, I hope it
And the mortal did not.
No. We can play a little bit of that opening just to hear the opening VO, because it is pretty great to be like, eh.
If you know the whole story, from what I recall, it goes something like this.
You don't know.
Before history began, Egypt was the birthplace of all life.
That's not
true. A paradise worthy of the gods who created it. So the gods.
And then, yeah, and then it just goes
alongside their lesser creation.
So not only are they doing this, what they're doing here is saying, again, everything you know about like mythology in Egypt, you got to forget that because we're going to do something different. And also, I don't even know if I know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, it's two frames of being confused. It's like,
so confusing.
This, you have no frame of reference for it, and I'm not a reliable narrator.
And then the mortal guy really, I mean, it really just was like lifting, it was like watching a real life version of Aladdin. Like it was that annoying and just like stealing, robbing, asides. He drove me a little crazy.
Watch me do a cartwheel.
Yeah. It was just, I don't know.
His hair really bothered me.
I didn't like his hair.
No.
I didn't like his hair. I felt like, and I didn't.
It looked like a pre-Revolutionary War, like judge's wig.
It was so sort of like in
but
The
like,
Patriot.
But like yeah. not, yeah. Like I kept wanting to see a small ponytail nape of his neck, but it never showed up.
You know what's interesting? The guy that does the voice of older yes. Beck. Also, the main mortal's name is like the least Egyptian. His name is Beck. And he looks just like a white, handsome guy. He couldn't, it's basically like, we want to do a movie that's set in ancient Egypt starring like a waspy British guy whose name is Beck. Like, this is nonsense. Anyway, the guy, Beck is 26, and the guy that does that ancient yeah. voice is 30.
What? That's
amazing.
It is amazing.
I had to look up, because the whole movie, I didn't really understand anyone's names. And so for the entire movie, I thought that Gerard Butler's name was Seth.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, what is it? Seth.
It's Seth.
Yeah,
Seth.
But, so it's, I mean, I get that.
But when I was like, but it's much funnier. Funnier to be Seth.
Yeah.
Seth.
Yeah.
Do you know what drove me crazy?
That's like Kevin Lannister on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
The Tywin Lannister's brother is named Kevin. Oh, and here's Kevin Lannister. Wait, what?
What?
We've got Tywin, Tyrion, all these great names.
Kevin.
And then, oh, Kev, get over here, Kev. Sorry, Brian. Go ahead. I interrupted
no,
you.
No, what drove me, one moment that really got under my skin, because I was just like, what a great opportunity, missed opportunity. Did anyone understand what the Sphinx was saying?
Oh, no.
I had to rewind
this clip, too.
I was so excited for that riddle, and it was unintelligible.
It was the only part of the movie that I really agree. I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. Like, I understand that this is a thing, and they got to get the smart guy.
Problem solving. I can get on. I understand plot-wise why this can happen. Yeah. Great.
This is the Sphinx, and you can hear it, and then I wrote down what it was, because I did Google it. Here we go. This is the Sphinx in the movie.
Okay, just stop right there. Stop right there for a second.
It puts your lotion in the basket.
What?
Basically,
yeah. Like, from the get-go, nothing makes sense.
It's so much reverb. It's worse than Bane.
Yes.
It's like, I'm like, well, this is arguably the only part of the movie that you
only
want to hear.
I know.
And it's the riddle of the Sphinx. This is like, oh, okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Go on. I'm waiting.
I never was. Am always to be. No one ever saw me, nor ever will. And yet I am the confidence of all who live and breathe. What?
Order. Order.
And by the way, this is where this movie kind of sucks ass, too, because he asked that question, and you can actually hear it a little bit better when you've isolated all the images, because the majority of this movie also is just snake-like creatures.
Yes.
Like, someone was like, hey, can you design some creatures? Yeah, they can all be snake-like.
As long as they can all slither.
Yeah. Everything, the Sphinx was slithery, they had, like, guys riding on giant dune snakes.
I loved those.
Oh, those are pretty cool. I like that sequence.
Was that lady from Diane Ward?
Oh my gosh!
I don't think it is. No.
Okay.
They were in Chappie though. The Diane Ward people.
Oh. Okay.
They were in Chappie.
Good. That's what I needed. I needed to know they were in something.
They're. Don't you worry. They're out there.
Are you talking about
Ninja and Ninja?
They
and
had names.
Diane Ward people. Of course.
No. I'm sorry.
In this movie,
Snake Ladies.
I believe it was Yaya Ding as Annette and Abby Lee as
Annette.
Oh, Anat.
Oh, and then Estart.
I loved that scene. I loved the snakes. That
was my favorite sequence of the movie. And I think I was just always confused about where we were at. Like, I was even confused like when I was like, are we in the underworld? Are we not in the underworld?
It's a movie in which people are constantly going from place to place. I don't have any understanding of where and why.
No.
Oftentimes they don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of times characters are saying, why are we here?
Yeah.
Why are we here? Oh, we got to talk to Ra. Okay. How are we doing that? Bing, bang, boom. Now we're at Ra's.
And also every scene felt cut so short that they just like, they just sliced it in half and you were always in a new place.
And it's still 2 hours.
It's a 126 minute movie. They like, and that's the other thing too. Like at the end, they're like, well, let's go back to the Capitol. Oh, you had that ability to like just traverse from the underworld to back to the real world. Like,
and when the girlfriend just leaves the location when she's about to be killed, and I'm like, you could have done this the entire time.
It's so stupid. Yeah. But by the way, I wrote two lines down that I think illustrate similar points of like, there was what you were saying earlier about the voiceover where you're like,
we don't give a shit. Why should you?
There was one where Jamie Lannister said to Jon Bon Jovi, which is what I'm calling that mortal. Because, you know, there was like weird, like, oh, this is going to be a funny scene, orchestral music. Like, oh, we're about to say something funny. So we're going to show you what this like Looney Tunes thing. There was a moment where Jamie Lannister said, do you think I'd put any effort in trying to amuse you? Which I was like, well, this whole film doesn't understand the irony in that. And then there's another one where it was like they were trying to figure out, but they didn't know where they were. And then, it was one of those things of like, sorry, I'm figuring this out while I'm saying it, but where they were like, why are we here? Why haven't you figured this out? It was next time run towards their weak spot. This is about the snakes. And then Bon Jovi says, how do you know they have a weak spot? And then Jamie Lannister says, I don't know, but they must, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is not happening in real time.
Yeah.
This is a script. You can figure this out. Yeah.
Why can't he know?
Yeah.
Why can't he know that they have a weak spot in order to defeat them?
And why didn't he know what running was?
Time.
Yeah.
By the way, this is also my irritation with this whole movie is like, you set up these things that should be like, they get the philosopher, right? That guy Toth, who I liked, Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
That's Black Panther.
It was shocking. Yeah.
And he comes in and they set him up, you know, he's contemplating a head of lettuce and then they bring him there. And then he doesn't figure out the fucking clue. The mortal does. And I felt like that was like a weird undercutting. Like, we got to get this character. This character's so important. We got to get him.
Also, do you get three guesses?
Yeah, that was the another.
Are you allowed three guesses?
That like also drove me crazy.
I was like, I don't know that. Maybe that is part of the rule of the Riddle of the Sphinx that I'm just not knowing. But like, he gives his answer and he's like, wrong. He smacks Jamie Lannister once, and then they're like, oh, wait a minute, well, let me try again. Wait, what?
You could just say that aloud? Yeah, that drove me crazy.
If you think about what happened in the first 30 minutes, first hour, it's so hard to even...
Oh, yeah.
Like, he loses his girlfriend...
we still haven't even talked about the architect.
Oh, who was the architect. Fantastic.
I love that guy.
Me too.
Didn't you... Is this unfair to say... As shitty as this movie was, I respected every single person in there because they all did. I thought they did a great job for the bullshit that they had to do.
Everyone was in. Like, everyone was like, I am here. I am committing. Like, Gerard Butler, like, I know he didn't do anything with that accent, and sometimes it didn't match, but I was like, fuck, man. He's like, ready. He's like, I'm going to do this bad guy, bad guy.
Yeah.
This is where I will say, like, I believe this to be true, a cast of Americans could not make this movie.
Oh, I
no,
sure, yeah.
No,
there's simply something about, these are, like, this is controversial, I know. People are going to write in and be like, no, that's not true. Here's this person and that person. But this is a movie in which everybody in it is, like, men.
Right.
Men, grown men, you know, like, fighting and for honor and the hierarchy of all this stuff. And for some reason, we just associate that with, like, with whether it's, like, British people or whether it, I guess, you know, Jamie Lannister's... Danish? What is Danish?
Yeah, or like Australian, whatever. Like Hemsworths, whatever.
Great. And then they're all men, but there's something about those accents. There's something about this that I'm like, you know, I get what this is.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if you could cast Americans in all these roles and have it land right.
Well, you probably give it, not. It gives it that, like, for whatever it is, that weird bullshit realness. It's like the same way you're saying that guy is like just a few years older than the 26-year-old doing the voiceover. It's like, he sounds like he's lived a life. That sounded to me like Jeremy Irons. Like, let me tell you the story. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm just 32 years old. I'm 32 and I'm like, I just got a new iPhone and then I programmed it. You know,
the thing that is still that is, I mean, we talked about it at the beginning, but that is so shocking in these epics still, especially like set in Egypt, that has not changed since like Cecil B. DeMille did the Ten Commandments, is the full-blown whitewashing
of
every single character except for Chadwick Boseman
and slaves.
Yeah.
Except for Chadwick Boseman and like slave children who are all black, baby.
I mean, and Chadwick Boseman is kind of playing again like we got to talk to this guy. He knows more than us. Like, yeah. Which is also a stereotypical kind of Legend of Bagger Vance esque
like the wise black man.
Yeah.
I feel like Chadwick Boseman in this movie, to me, was what I imagined Gina Gershon was like for Showgirls, and that like she was like, I get what this is. So let's have fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think like, Jeffrey Rush. He was doing a crazy accent.
Jeffrey Rush killed it. Like, I pulled a clip of him, Jeffrey Rush, doing him just talking about.
Jeffrey Rush now, I believe, only does movies in which he has to undergo a lot of prosthetics. You know, like, because isn't he Pirates of the Caribbean?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's what he does now.
I think he's like, if I'm going to be on a movie like on this level, cover me up as much as I can get on my face so you can't. Is it Jeffrey Rush? I'm not sure.
He's like, they all play by that rule, which was, I think, really smart if you're lazy, of like, for the fight scenes, can we just transform into something where you don't need
absolutely.
Us?
Oh, absolutely.
Totally happened.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then, like, the movie even ends on the most irritating thing is, like, you know, obviously the good guy wins, and he's like...
The good guy being Jamie Lannister and Baby Bon Jovi.
Yeah, Baby Bon Jovi. Yeah. And then he was like, hey, you watch Egypt for a while. And then it's just like...
I'm going to go fuck my girlfriend. Where is she?
I'm going to go find her. She's in the underworld.
So did you guys... Oh, sorry. Do you want to play that?
Oh, yeah. I should play it. Just this is how Jeffrey Rush can kind of just kill it right when he gets on stage with even a weird line. Here we go.
Hail thou, great god Ra.
Normally when a bird lands on my boat, I kill it before it can shit. What is this? You dare bring a mortal to the source of creation?
He's valuable to me. I could not leave him behind.
I think he's great. Like, I feel like he's like delivering that line, and I feel like
so good.
I wanted more Spaceboat Jeffrey Rush. I like Spaceboat Jeffrey Rush
again,
or Space Raft. I should.
What is that?
What is that? What's the worm?
Yep.
Oh, the worm is like
that thing.
I thought at first this is my.
Is it the worm from Dune?
I think so. The worm from Beetlejuice definitely auditioned for this because I read about that. But
worm gets work.
Oh, he's a great worm.
He's
not like that
Golden
worm from Tremors.
No.
The Tremors worm pushes it.
Yeah.
And this worm is big. Always, yeah.
That's the back and me of worms.
There is something about a monster with rows of teeth that is totally fascinating
effective. Yeah. Well, to me, this is what I thought, and then I realized I was wrong, but I will share with you my bad idea. So he is the god of the sun, right? And I thought every day, he battles with the night, and that was the night, and like so like the night beats him and then it's night and then he beats it back and it's the morning, so it's this constant battle. But then I just found out it's chaos.
Right.
Like the snake of chaos.
Yeah.
God, that would have been good if they had gone with that.
I would have liked that idea. Yeah. Like that
but
every
you're not
night
wrong because it does fight during the night. He's like he has to keep the worm at bay at night.
When it's the strongest?
I think when it's trying to attack, I think.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm also confused about the powers in this world because they always are saying they can't bring anyone back from the dead, but yet in this movie,
constant.
Everyone's being brought back from the dead. Jeffrey Rush is killed in space, and he's like, hey, wake up. And he's like, oh, what? What happened?
What are we doing? Are we ready to go?
I also had an issue with the fact that I was angry about the fact that that gods got to decide what your afterlife was.
Oh, yeah.
That was just at the whim, whoever was ruling. That drove me nuts.
Well, we were going down one path, too. Aaron, you were saying something, and then we played that clip.
I know. I forgot what I was going to say. I don't know what we were talking about before that. I'll figure it out.
I was going to say
When
the girlfriend goes to the underworld, you see this gigantic line, and then all of a sudden she's at the front of it. I'm like, she made really good time in the underworld. Like, she really.
And they also said it was going to take like 7 days to walk to like the scales of whatever, the afterlife.
Another boat, it looked like to me.
So many boats.
I liked the underworld decision-making scene. I thought that was cool.
I liked when they went to the underworld. I also liked that the guy running like the the St. Peter of the underworld, like who decided, was like when shit went down, he's like, oh, hey, hold on, whoa, the underworld's closing. Guys, back up. Don't walk into this. Shit. Okay. He became like a real frustrated, just manager of like a Best Buy. Like,
middle manager.
All right, everybody, calm down.
We're gonna get this sussed out. Our computers are down right now, so we're not gonna be able to decide who goes to heaven or who goes to hell.
I can only take cash, no credit cards, the machines are down.
Your gold is worthless.
I know what I was going to say. So at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, No one cares. At the end of the movie, you don't know where the girl, you don't know where
Zaya.
Seth's girlfriend is.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, Zaya. Yeah,
no, oh, Elektra.
Yeah, yeah. Elektra
from the Daredevil series.
Yes. You don't know where she is. And then I was reading online that they were, was this Sony? Or whoever did the Hunger Games.
Okay.
Lionsgate.
Okay, so Lionsgate was like, this was at the same time. I guess they were producing it at the same time or something at the same time as Hunger Games. And so they were setting this up as a new franchise that would be as successful as Hunger Games. So that's why that has a cliffhanger ending because they were setting it up to be
to be like more films.
Yeah.
That's so dumb because I don't think people are interested in these kinds of movies. Like none
of
those
epics get
make money.
I feel like they all fail time and time again. Prince of Persia, Exodus of God's Dreams, the new Ben-Hur.
Here's
I just saw
question.
Poster and I was like, bah.
I feel like these are movies that are made for international audiences.
100%.
But then again, this movie cost like
$140 million.
And it made $145 million.
Yes. All overseas.
But even if it's
domestically
overseas.
Domestically or that's added, everything all.
No, it made,
all
like, it made like $30 million domestically.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It came out, we were talking about this before, it came out a few months ago.
Yeah, it came out in 2016.
Do you have any recollection?
February 26th.
No. I thought this movie was like 2 years old.
No, this came out like months ago.
Wide release.
I am shocked.
I know. By the way, the Rotten Tomatoes score is 16%. It was, for a $140 million movie, that's exceptionally
low. This movie is, I really want to reiterate, this movie is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, the performances are good.
Yeah.
That's what I admire.
Except for a few, which I didn't care for. But like, I love... I'm all in on Gerard Butler.
Same.
Yep.
I'm all in.
I
wish this guy would do better stuff because I find him interesting, compelling.
His characters are always well-rounded. He does weird, idiosyncratic.
He could be funny.
He could beat Matthew McConaughey at the game of doing quality movies really well.
Yes, he could be, to me. I'm like, why isn't he having Russell Crowe's career?
Right.
Why is he doing this and not a Gladiator.
Yeah.
Like something that is a swords and sandals movie, but is actually good.
But I think what it is he's a guy, like he had his 300, right? Like that was his big boom, I'm here.
And he was so good.
Mm-hmm. But then I think he's made some good choices, but the movies haven't clicked because I think Olympus Has Fallen is hands down one of my favorite like action movies.
Totally.
It's so good. Like it's in that old
it's very fun.
80s Great. Style. It's like there's like ripping out throats, but he's great.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
like, it's not like schlocky. It's, and Morgan Freeman's in it and like good people are in it.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's a fun loving guy. He's like, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking do this. This would be fun. Like, and I think he may not be picking, I don't know.
No.
I mean, with Matthew McConaughey, the issue was, from my understanding, that the production company he had, he was just saying like yes to all these rom-coms and not really thinking about the movie and was surrounding himself by people who were like, yeah, just make the money.
Yeah.
So it might be a situation where Gerard Butler's like
Save
surrounded
Gerard
by-
Gerard Butler.
Guys, please, we got to get him new reps.
let's represent him.
We will get him some solid work.
Let's start a management company.
We need, it's all called, do a movie with Allison Janney, it'll fix everything.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm looking at it.
Is that it? That's the-
feel like if you
that's
go-
That's the project. That's
once, the road to recovery begins with Allison Janney.
Yeah. 100%.
I do feel like this is an interesting thing too, and I feel like Sam Jackson falls into the same category where like they asked him one time, like, why do you do all these movies? And because Sam Jackson's quality of work is
just like Michael Caine.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
But Sam Jackson said something that I feel like may be similar to him, which is he's like, I want to be in the movies that I liked as a kid. So like he's just like, giant shark movie? I'm in.
Yeah.
King Kong movie? You get it. Like, and I think he's a sort of like, I'm in on the simple premise of, fuck, cool, we're going to blow up this city. And I feel like when you look at a lot of his stuff, he's working with cool people. Like, you know, it's like the guy who wrote Seven. All right, I'll be in the next movie that he does.
Yeah.
You know, the guys who did Crank, I'll be in their movie. I'll make a romantic comedy with Katherine Heigl at the height of Katherine Heigl being in romantic comedies.
Right.
Like, he's making all the right
choices.
Jennifer Aniston, great. Yep. Like, again, it's like, he's not like devaluing it, sort of like either gets there a day late or like no one cares.
He does get there a day late.
Yeah, just like, oh,
if you had as much money as I assume Gerard Butler has, wouldn't there be a point where you're like, I don't need to do, I want to start doing stuff that is actually
Unless you're just having a blast.
He may just not realize it yet.
You don't think so.
I will say sometimes you're making something and you're like, this may be bad or it may be great. I don't know.
Right.
I think it must be hard to know that when you're making this. He could have thought this was going to be good.
I don't think anyone works on a movie they think is going to be bad. I think everyone's like, oh, you know what? It'll all come together and it's good. We don't even, especially in a movie like this, because you're like, we don't even know what is going to be here.
Visually, it's going to be amazing. And we've got Jamie Lannister and we've got Jeffrey Rush and we've got all these great actors.
One of the most surprising things about it is with that budget, and I honestly was like, well, this just must have been released overseas, not here, but that it was, and that they thought it would be a franchise operation, that the special effects were so terrible.
Oh, really? They were
awful. Like, some of the worst I've seen.
And the sound design was like, oh, these two robot birds are fighting. Let's get two pots and pans.
Ching, 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 ching.
It was like someone was going through grandma's like.
But it takes place in ancient Egypt, and it's as if every single thing is made of metal. You know what I mean? Like it might as well take place in a future society where everything is metal.
No offense, but total offense to Zack Snyder, because I think he set up this style of filmmaking.
Completely.
Like 300 was cool and different, and I've not seen anything using that style that has achieved anything as interesting.
But down to the Old Man Vio. That was such a 300.
Yeah.
Like down it was, to all those elements. All
this was exactly the, and it just like that looked cool because it was sort of like you could tell like they didn't have enough money to do it, and they did something cool and made it
stylish.
But when you have $140 million, it just like it just feels
well, here
like
was the thing
so
too.
Bloated.
Yeah. They had $140 million, but looking at this movie, you have to say, like, it's not like they chose their spots to make to do like CGI animation here, or like, here's this one battle we're gonna do. All of the movie is always computer generated.
So when you get something all like the snakes, you're like, well, I've already seen 17 of these things by the time you get to the snakes. So
and
even
the snakes
as impressive,
have no weight in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like everything, even though the snakes look cool, like when you put snakes in a world in which the ground is CGI, the snakes are CGI, the background is CGI, everything is green screen.
And no one's
then you're like, I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know what's going on.
And no one and you're right, and no one seems to care. About, like, it doesn't, nothing seems like, ooh.
Yeah.
Just like, oh,
because when literally anything can happen, like, nothing is surprising or carries any weight.
Hey, everybody. Sorry to take a quick break here, but we have to thank our sponsors. Our sponsors are fucking awesome. I can't tell you how excited I am to talk about our next sponsor because it is a life-changing product. Now, I know a lot of people may think they have a life-changing product, but this one actually changes lives. I'm talking about Sonos. Do you guys know what Sonos is? All right, Sonos basically is a speaker system that you could put in your house. You have an app on your phone. It hooks up to all of your music, and then you can play it wherever you are in the house at any given point. I put speakers all over my house. I'm just pop out my iPhone, and I'm throwing it on. It has revolutionized everything. No plugging cords into things or anything like that. It's all done via Bluetooth, internet, whatever. I don't know how the technology is done. All I know is my music comes out of a speaker. I put the speaker wherever I want. I put them in walls. I have little things that I bring out. You can bring it out. You can portable. Some of them are portable. So basically, here's the deal. Sonos speakers are the shit. The app is the best. Get yourself a Sonos speaker. Play your music anywhere and everywhere. Be the cool person at your house or party when someone's like, oh God, I hate that track. Just pull out your iPhone and switch that shit up. Okay, you can be in one room, you could be in every room. I have them all over my house. I can have my whole house playing NPR. I could then just switch it and have it all play the Raiders of the Lost Ark theme. I could do whatever I want with Sonos. It's fucking cool. Cool as shit. Sonos, check it out. I don't even think I have to tell you to go do anything more than that. Just check out Sonos. I think you'll dig it or like it. Either way, I think you'll be into it. Oh yeah. I'm talking about Avión. Avión tequila. Let me tell you a little bit about Avión. I just drank Avión. That's right. I'm recording this after we recorded our real episode. I poured it in a glass tonight knowing that I was going to do an ad for it here on the podcast. And let me tell you, it's damn good. Avión tequila, you probably heard about it on Entourage Turtle, right? I think he invented it. He didn't. Turtle's a fictional character. This is actually a tequila made from people who give a shit about tequila. I mean, they are from a small little place in Mexico that is delicious, okay? It is so, so good. I think once you try this, you're going to be like, oh shit, Avión is delicious tasting tequila because it's made by real people with a true passion for their craft. They pride themselves on the art of creating beautifully inefficient tequila. You can sip on it. You can put it on the rocks. You can put it in a margarita. Whatever you like. Tonight, what did I do? Poured in a glass with some ice, a little bit of tonic water. Went to sleep. Later, woke up the next day. Don't have a hangover because it's smooth. It's inefficient. They actually don't take the easy way out. They make it hard. So their alcohol is actually fully realized. I don't know if that's a term that you can use for tequila, but I think it's fully realized. Anyway, here's what I'm going to say. Try Avión. I think you'll really like it. It's an ultra premium tequila. Keep it in your freezer. Break it out for the good times. Break it out for the bad times. Just break it out. Please drink Avión responsibly, or I'm going to come after you and be like, dude, what the fuck, man? All right, now back to our show.
There's no stakes because everything you can, because nothing, there's no stakes because nothing feels real. Like when baby John Bon Jovi breaks into Gerard Butler's house or whatever to steal Jamie Lannister's eye. There's like a, what could be a cool, like you have to pass like Indiana Jones style, a bunch of traps. You know, it's a whole secret. It's three different bridges of traps that he has to outsmart. And it's as if this kid's got, this kid might as well be Spider-Man. He has superpowers where he is able to like gymnastically jump and bounce and
there's no tension even.
And none of it was real.
Doesn't even try to make it look hard.
Like, not at all.
Just jumps through those things.
He is almost killed in almost every scene of the movie and never is ever
nervous.
Like nervous, never breaks a sweat, never is like, whoa, that was tough.
He lives in a world where buildings are constantly falling down. So again, he is like.
And being built. And being built. Seth builds a tower that is higher than any other tower, I think within like a year.
Oh, it was. It was a year. It was a year and it was already pretty high up.
That's impossible.
But you know what's dumb? Yeah. When you, I mean, really, this is a bad business plan.
Not with
when
Trump
you're,
2016.
When you're,
lock her up. Lock her up.
I'm so glad we're all on the same page about that.
When you're, if you're in this world, if you're a 9-foot god and you have infinite powers.
Oh, no, they're no like one, 25 feet tall.
My point, exactly. Like, why would you then have mortal slaves building your shit?
Oh, because they are like
you can
ants.
Do it in 5 seconds.
Oh, no. They're not going to do it. They're gods. No, no, no.
That's why they need their architect, which gets back to our architect.
Why did... Best okay, death why in the movie. Did Horace... Okay, so...
His name's Horace, right?
At the end of the movie.
The architect is Ursha.
That's the protagonist.
Yeah, no, Horace is Jamie Lannister.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, Jamie
Ursha
Lannister...
is the architect.
Jamie... And I like that actor as well. What's his name?
Rufus Sewell.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
He's great.
No one would ever fuck someone named Horace, ever.
Really?
I just want to say.
Man.
Really? If this was a radio play version, people would be
like, Horace, the root word in that is whore.
Oh, right, you're
it's
right.
It's pretty slutty. Yeah.
Like, I'll say this, like, if you're a Horace and you're a fan of the show, Aaron does not speak for us.
No.
Right. You know, I would totally fuck a Horace.
So would I.
Come at me, bro.
And just so you know, I don't want to offend anyone.
I don't want to put Horace's on blast here.
Egyptian religion, it is the most significant deities in their culture.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
So just
come
so you
at
know.
Me. Come at me, Greek nerds.
No, not Greek
not
nerds.
Greek.
What?
Greek
Egyptian
what?
Nerds.
Anybody. I don't care who you are.
Doubling down.
At the end of the movie, Horace and baby John Bon Jovi are going up... with Rufus Sewell, the architect, up the elevator in the tower that is the tallest tower. And they're on the elevator. Why is there an elevator? Come on, that would not happen. Okay, regardless, here they are. And then Jamie Lannister is like, you know what? I'm going to jump out the window and climb up the front of this building rather than continue to take this elevator up. Why?
Can I ask you a question about that?
No, why? Why does he climb up the front of the building?
Yeah,
they're in an elevator going to the top.
Yeah,
what's up?
But, this is why I'm confused about that scene, and maybe this will answer it or be more confusing. So they're in the elevator with the architect. Is the architect helping them, and why?
I think he's under hostage.
Yes, I think they're holding him hostage.
Okay, so, but he's, okay, all right, fine. The whole thing.
Right, and but then because then he says, I'm ready to die.
But then he also says, he's like, well, because I was confused because they were like, take us to whatever, the top, penthouse, please. Yeah. And then they're on the way up. The architect is like, this building boasts 15,000 feet of stone. Yeah. And I was like, we're on House Hunters like, International.
Oh, well, he's just proud. He's proud of his work.
He's a master.
Well, by the way, one of my favorite things, it's not a joke, but I just love the specific that he had a desk and he has like all these scrolls all over the desk. He's like, oh, the scrolls smell like
blueprints.
I just like that he'd be like, oh, sit down, got all these scrolls, just like going through so scrolls. It's like, and you know, and I get that he has a room full of scrolls. And then also they look at the blueprint, and the blueprint is
bananas.
The blueprint is like cave drawing.
No, it's like hieroglyphics. It's all hieroglyphics.
It's hieroglyphics, and they're like, "Oh, look at this! Great design."
Oh yeah.
Oh, and this is Branch is going to have some jaw. It's like, and you're looking at this nonsense. I mean, not nonsense, but it's like they're reading hieroglyphics as if
it's like just casual speak.
Yeah.
And they are like slaves who would never know how to do that.
Well, by the way, I think the one part of the movie I really wanted to see was
when that girl puts on that green dress that he steals for her at the beginning of the movie. And this girl, the woman is beautiful, but she puts on the green dress, and it's as if the green dress in ancient Egypt that is for sale, like in a street store, has like a built-in push-up bra.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
like, that was crazy.
It is like a red carpet dress.
They built the pyramids, and they also built up these
built
brasses.
Those pyramids, if you know what I'm talking about.
You know, the Egyptians did invent the bra.
Really,
that is a real thing. Yeah.
So maybe you're wrong.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's what they're trying to get at.
It's the only thing they got factually correct in this whole movie.
Those tits were high and tight.
I do feel like the movie did have an element of someone sitting behind the camera going like, sick, sick, fucking sick.
Oh, you know
bro.
What? Oh, yeah. Or them coming to them and be like, okay, so you guys are going to get up on this thing. And then what you're not seeing is that you guys are in a flying chariot that is being carried by giant bugs. Wait, what? Okay, so there's flying giant bugs. And so you're flying those instead of like horses or something. But it's a chariot, but with flying bugs.
And remember, you're always looking a little bit up because he's 9 to 25.
Oh, and remember, talk a little loud because like the ambient wind noise would be there.
But I think that this director, because he's done some cool stuff. He did The Crow and he did
Alex
Dark City. Yeah, he's done some interesting stuff. I feel like he got everyone on board because no one seems self-conscious about getting on a chariot run by scarabs and like hitting them like you would hit like horses, like, yeah,
when you bring him up, the fact, this is why I said Greek earlier, he's a Greek guy born, he's born of Greek parents in Egypt.
Wait, which character?
He grew up, the director grew up in Egypt. So the fact that,
I guess that he...
And the producers apologized as a preemptive thing for all the whitewashing, which, honestly, that's what made me super bummed out was this guy lived in Egypt and was like on board for this casting.
Well, like, it's also like, it's funny when people go, yeah, I didn't really think about it. We're thinking about
you can't make a $140 million movie though without. Like,
without a white cast.
That is like the craziness of it.
But without like thinking like, one guy in there that's black, I guess.
The reality is, like, they should just not make this movie.
But also, I feel like for Game of Thrones, Jaime Lannister, he's not a box office. It seems like it was such a conscious choice to be like, well, this guy probably will bring in, what, $500?
I don't know. No, I tell you this. I had a meeting, a Hollywood meeting.
Is it on Sunset or Hollywood?
Welcome to Hollywood Corner with Paul Shee.
Here you go, guys. Real facts, real
truth. How did this get made? Hollywood Corner.
Right up for you. Here you go. I remember I was in this meeting and they had this like a binder with all the actors that they wanted to work with and who they thought were going to be doing TV really soon. And the list was ridiculous. Like the people they thought were going to be edging into TV have had gigantic movies in the last year. So it's like that's how far off. But the last page of this like pamphlet of all their actors was a picture of the cast of Game of Thrones. And at the top, it was like, we want to work with any of these people.
Wow.
It was like, and that was their mandate. Any of these people. And I think that is the mentality.
Okay.
It's like, yes.
Yeah.
Every Game of Thrones person is in this.
Yeah. Well, that's why you're seeing, I just saw Ghost the Dire Wolf in an episode of Modern Family.
Deep cut.
Those dire wolves are working constantly.
But to be fair, the Dire Wolf was doing comedy.
Is that a real name
of the Dire
Wolf? Of course. Oh, Ghost? Who's Ghost? Was he?
Ghost is Jon Snow's dire wolf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was Summer. But he did Groundlings.
Yeah,
and he had a comedy background. He got in this, so it's easy for him.
It makes more. Actually, he made more sense.
And isn't he lucky that he can do both?
Oh,
yeah. Comedy and drama. So not everyone can do that. Comedy's so hard, lucky. So not everyone can do that.
You can't always fluctuate.
Oh, yeah.
He's a regular.
I
mean, yeah,
that's what I love. And I love that thing. Like, you know, you've got your Thoros of Mir. You know, like I want to see that guy pop up in an episode of like Better Call Saul.
Absolutely.
Now, like with Jaime Lannister, this is the question I have. Will anybody recognize anyone from Game of Thrones in regular clothes? Because Jaime Lannister at least looks like his Game of Thrones character in this.
Yes, he does. That's the thing is,
except
feel
he's
like,
shirtless, which is like, hey, guess what we got?
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, he worked out so hard. I noticed in one part of that movie, I read one thing online that he got down to 7% body fat. So when you do that, your muscles are insane. And he was wearing some sort of bodice that looked like he had
Elvis robe?
Yeah, oh, no, that was at the end.
No, the one that had the metal. Yeah,
where it looked like
he had like pendulous breasts.
Yeah, he looked like he had breasts. They were just like blank. I was like, wow, I've never seen like male breasts like
male
that.
Male cleavage.
Yeah,
it was every time I watch these movies, one of the first things that pops into my head is always the diets. Miserable they must have
especially
been.
Especially on the days where they're shooting the fully like topless, like chest out ribs.
They're
and
not,
what
that,
a shitty
way,
week they've had.
Oh, yeah. They have
it's
to like pound water.
Yeah, it's a male eating disorder. That shit that they
you have
to
pound water and then like you got to get it all out and then you have like
no
4 minutes
no
to
soda.
Get it.
Yeah.
And it's like, workout.
It's like, is it Foxcatcher when he has to like drop all, yeah, that crazy. Wood, all that wood, all that weight?
It's so stressful.
I also had a problem
but
with
it worked.
It worked.
And I mean, until he was killed.
The fact that he went through a very depressing thing, which is that he lost his eyes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's in a cave for a long time. And,
a great
but he's,
cave.
A year.
I mean, great,
a really nice
setup.
By the way, not a bad deal. Like, no. All right.
I would have been happy with that.
Yeah. And it seems
it's
to be that they were bringing,
out there.
Like,
guys,
they
I'm
were
25 bringing, feet tall. And
where,
like, people bring me tributes.
Yeah, but where are the,
was he like, wait, were tributes sex? Is that because he's like, oh, no more tributes? Like, he's like living a pretty good life.
Yeah.
But where are the free weights?
He's just doing.
Where is it like Linda Hamilton style?
Push up, on the crypts. You know,
gods
like,
don't
there's
need
no
to work
such
out.
Thing as an out of shape.
They don't work out.
That's the thing I thought too. I was like, he's been in that cave all this time, and he's like, he pops one eye back in, and he's ready to fight.
Yeah.
And I was like, wouldn't you be like fat and out of shape at this point?
That nope. I would have liked to have seen that scene.
Yeah.
Of him having
now
to do a Rocky
slob.
Style. Yeah.
Am I going to ask a question that reveals how stupid I am? But I will. Like, he said that he doesn't have all of his power, but he didn't seem to lose any power. Like, he, like,
what it was without two eyes, he was trying to say without two eyes, he couldn't fly well.
But he does.
Ish.
But doesn't
remember when they crash land?
Oh, wow.
You know, that's like that, I think.
But I thought at that point that was because Ra had given him some kind of like booster shot or something.
Like, yeah.
Like, he had a B12 shot, but
and
then
they
it ran
don't,
out.
And they don't kind of show it either. He's like, can I get that? Can I take some of this water? And he's like, no. He's like, gotta get back out there. I don't.
No, he does take the water. He wants the water to put out the fire, not to drink.
Oh, okay.
The water is to put out the fire, which they then don't do.
I thought that was
and
really
it's not even important. He's carrying this water vial around that he gets water from Ra's sun ocean.
That was
I feel
disappointing
because
like I actually did
water. Space is water.
Right.
That's what this movie posits, is that space is full of water.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I was going to say about him—
does it make the worm a fish?
So that's a— well,
I mean, right?
I get eel.
Yeah.
It would be an eel.
The fact that he doesn't— we are not clear about what his powers are exactly. And at the end, I still have questions on— because there's a part where Jon Bon Jovi's like falling off that big obelisk or whatever, and then he goes to rescue him, and he turns. Jaime Lannister goes to rescue him, and he turns into the Iron Bird, from all the Journey albums, and then he grabs him, and he's like, oh, I thought you couldn't fly, and he's like, I guess I had it in me this whole time.
I just needed to choose
which
other
such,
people, not myself.
But that's just such bullshit, because then that defeats the other thing where he's like, when the other guy, when Gerard Butler takes like the three parts and like kind of tin mans himself, he's like, I'm put your brain in and your eye and whatever and your heart. He's like, well, really strong.
And that's the thing is, they keep saying in order to beat Set, we have to like extinguish his fire with the space water. They don't extinguish the fire, so the fire is always burning. Plus, Set also makes himself much stronger by putting in the brain, wings, eye of other gods, which make him almost undefeatable. And Jamie Lannister is just like, bang, 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 ha, 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 I win.
I know. That's right. It was
ripping his wings off. That's all he does, right?
He rips his wings off. He rips
the brain out?
The brain
out. By the way, that fight sequence is like 25 minutes.
Yeah. It's
like,
too long.
And also, so it's, when it's the two actors fighting, it looks so lazy.
It's so terrible.
Like, they weren't trained well, or weren't up to it, or something.
It feels like they may have had training, and then they put on these, like, very heavy That's costumes, and it's like, it just looks lethargic, and like, it's, I'm like, I don't know what happened.
I don't
there.
Either. It did not
did
look
Did you guys
good
laugh when there was a moment where Jamie Lannister, I don't remember what happened, but he had his wings off, or something happened where he landed like Iron Man? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. He was like, boom, yeah.
I also liked when Gerard Butler told the girlfriend that he was like going to go see his wife, and she was like, but that's your wife. What are you going to do with her? He's like, what are wives for? I'm going to kill her. And it was like, what was that logic?
Yeah.
I loved that line.
The male-female relationships in this movie left a lot to be desired.
Well, the fact that Jamie Lannister's wife or girlfriend then got involved with Seth out of, like, necessity. I'm not going to back down on Seth.
Yeah.
Out of necessity. And then she makes jokes about how she's actually his enemy, but then she turns out she is his enemy, but he puts up with her anyway.
She's also, when she meets baby Jon Bon Jovi, she becomes obsessed with the fact that he's in love.
Yeah.
This movie exists in a world in which the gods are mostly obsessed with just whether or not people are in love.
Yeah.
Like, but true love.
But that's like kind of like one of those weirdo things. I feel like gods are these like voyeurs. They're like the people like watching people fuck. Like, I feel like...
Yeah, like the gods in Hercules in New York.
Yeah,
like
they're just always like trying to figure out what love is, because I think they don't experience it. It's the one
gods
thing that
don't experience love?
I don't think they do. I think a
god... of love? What about the goddess of love?
Because they're just giving people love. Yeah.
Yeah, and...
What about the gangster of love, Steve Miller?
Well, that... Yeah, he's also Greek.
Yeah.
So, he's Aeneas.
That's true. Yeah, it's Zeus, Apollo, Steve Miller, Aphrodite.
Only some call him the gangster of love. That's not a unanimous.
Some people just call him Maurice.
That's just...
Guys, people just call him Maurice.
That was my favorite tangent.
I want someone to make a picture of like Steve Miller in like these outfits, like just superimpose his head on like a.
He deserves that. I think he'd like this movie.
Oh, I think Steve Miller. It's his number one movie of 2016.
Definitely. He this was all Secret in Life domestic of Pets. Sales.
I like Secret Life of Pets. I liked Gods of Egypt.
I can't believe
and
it
Mr.
Came
Robot.
Out this
is
year.
That a movie? No, yeah. Steve. That's a TV show. I like Mr. Robot.
I still can't believe it came out this year.
It's so great.
That is shocking.
I know.
By the way, I'm forgetting his name right now. Not Osiris. Who's the god of light? Oh, Jeffrey Rush. Did he get slimed? Like, because, like when Gerard Butler is, like, shooting at him, it's like he's being covered in, like, blah! Like,
oh, it's like lava. It's the sun.
Okay.
It's like, I think that spear shoots the sun.
Okay, so he's just getting covered in
and
sunlight.
And why couldn't they bring back the king to life? They brought everyone else back.
They cut him into 14 pieces.
Oh, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah, they cut him.
Also, that you can kill a god with a knife? That seemed lame, too.
Well, or you can at least, like Jeffrey Rush would be floating there forever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do they bleed gold?
Yeah. Not just gold paint.
Yeah.
They Benjamin Moore 402
I did kind of think.
Like Pantone 19. It is just
crafter's
gold paint.
Because it looks like it has like a liquidy base to it. Yep. It's when Gerard Butler is bleeding out at the end,
it looks
hilarious.
Terrible.
It's so great. Weird.
Yeah. It's
but
bizarre.
Was it, it does, do you feel like it was done in, I mean, I'm going to say this, in post? Or was it like...
Welcome to Hollywood Corner.
Because it did seem real, like
post
real...
Post means when you're done with the movie, they do extra things to make sure. That's no one gets it, but that's...
Yeah, thank you for explaining, yeah.
I think that was... Just because it looked just like paint spilling out...
It's not even an important question.
No, I think they're covered in paint. I think they were like, and...
Yeah.
You got golden for so veins. Gold for veins.
This will be the practical effect that's going to sell the rest of the world.
Do you know that I read that 200 of the crew members
died?
Yeah. Mass suicide right after this movie. No, 200 of the crew members worked on Mad Max Fury Road. Can you imagine how disappointed they must have been? Oh, so much of that was done practically.
Yeah.
And this was none of it.
I guess this came out after Mad Max. I was going to say, maybe like they were like so psyched to do practical stuff. They're like, we worked on this fucking thing. No, but I bet you Mad Max
had this
to
is a them. Money job for those. For that crew.
You're right. Maybe they were just like, it's all in.
They're all just standing on the side of the set going like, fuck, man, I could have done this. We just get our big rig in here. Yeah. That's true.
Maybe they were relieved. Yeah. It was a nice vacation for them. Yeah.
Just by the crafty table, just eating like little mini carrots. Like, man, I'm Mad Max. We'd be all night.
All this being said, I would like to be in this movie.
What? Really?
If they were like, hey, you want to come and like run around and throw a sword around and like whatever, I would be. I think I would do that.
By the way, a new question we should ask at the end of every one of these. Would you like to be in this movie?
Would you want to be in this movie?
Yes.
All right.
I would have done it for sure.
Aaron?
I would love to be in a movie like this because I will never have the opportunity.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah. You know?
There's also like so few stakes because if you even listen to the dialogue, like, it's literally like, Brian, you say something, and then Paul, you say something, but what you say doesn't respond to what Brian said, and then I can come in with something exactly, like, totally opposite. So there's no...
You could just be shot separately.
They did a great job acting, but you could literally...
Just say a line.
Have any intention, take, or whatever. You have don't have to worry about your backstory. You don't have to worry about where you're going. You can just be bananas clown style.
Well, it's almost like they made this movie in an effort to be like, oh, and also feel free to remix it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, here are the pieces. Build your own movie.
I will say I was in a movie year one. No, not to brag, but year one where... Ooh,
welcome to Hollywood, Porter. How did this get made?
Here's the deal. Inside
Paul
Scoop.
Shears, Hollywood.
And one
so
of the
you've been to a meeting and you've been in a movie.
I don't want to talk about it too much, but yes.
Aren't we doing a crossover with You Must Remember This, where we're just doing the Hollywood stories of Paul Shears' life?
Meetings. Jokes
we're
so I told
sorry,
in Kareem meetings.
Longworth. I can't wait to hear the meetings tone that episode. It's just all over the place.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to tell you about the Now Hear This Podcast Festival coming up October 28th in Anaheim, California. It's like Comic-Con for podcasts. That's right. How Did This Get Made will be there, plus Comedy Bang Bang, Marc Maron, and many, many more. Tickets go on sale the morning of July 11th, and they will go fast. So go to NowHearThisFest.com. That's NowHearThisFest.com for more details. Come see us in Anaheim in October. But it was so much fun. It was a biblical movie, and it was so much fun to be on like those sets and be like in a toga. Yeah. It was actually
it's
really
like
cool.
Make believe 1950s.
Yeah,
Hollywood.
Like there's like the That's chariots neat. And flower petals coming down. You know, it was just very. It is. I think that's the reason why you get these good performances because it's like a Western too. Like they'll always be making these, you know, big like.
Epics,
and then Westerns, because I think at the end of the day, actors are like, I'd like to put a gun on him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but take all that away, and all you're really doing is standing on a green stage with a lot of armor
I know.
On. Yes. That's the problem. Like, we think it would be fun because it would be all these things, but none of it's
in
there.
In this instance, it would not be. You would be in, like, a hangar-sized studio in a full green screen.
With dots out all over your fucking body.
And what you're saying, I think the reason a lot of times it doesn't seem like people are affecting each other in scenes is because they cannot, due to the discrepancy in how big or small they're supposed to be, they can't be in scenes together. They're not actually, you're not in a two shot, you're not actually getting baby John Bon Jovi and Jamie Lannister in the shot because the forced perspective would be wrong. You know, like you have to shoot it in a way that Jamie is gigantic and huge and little guy is little guy.
And you could never even make eye contact. Oh, no. Man. Well, clearly we had an opinion about this movie. There are other people out there that had a differing opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Second Opinions!
All right, these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon, and they are great.
I wish you could see Brian's face.
I can't wait.
This is great. So okay. Exciting. So this is from Joseph L. Punasayan, and this is written March 21st, 2016, so he just saw the movie in the theater, came home, and wrote this. I've studied Egyptology, and I have to commend the scriptwriters for presenting the Egyptian pantheon very close to the mark. The human world was topographically not identical to Egypt, and the crown of the king was not the historic pharaonic crown, but the pantheon of Egypt wasn't even real anyway. I'm so tired of remakes and reboots, and it was great to see an original film that stands on its own merits. Toth, The God of Wisdom was a real hoot. And the character development in Horus is what this film is all about. The CGI supported the plot instead of the other way around. Proyas has put J.J. Abrams to shame. Not one planet got blown up, J.J.A. It's impossible to make a film without detonating your franchise. Take that.
This guy was just burned by The Force Awakens somehow.
Or Star Trek.
And is taking it all out on this.
I like that he was a
Last name.
Oh, yeah. And he studied Egyptology, and he's like, I'm on board. Like, he's on board.
But then he says the two things that got wrong.
He immediately says two things that got wrong, and then calls characters who
real
had no charm or funny thing about that.
Real hoots.
I will say that one of the things he says I do agree with, and even though this is not entirely a successful version of it, I also like that this is not a remake of some nonsense or a thing. This is some effort to be
we always say that.
Yeah, let's take something and make it original and find a way to execute just it, like it just doesn't.
The Mila Kunis movie.
Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, Jupiter Ascending, one of my favorite Eddie Redmayne movies.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
He's crazy in that.
It's good to try.
I agree.
Chewing up that scene.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Whisper, scream.
Making a meal out of that.
And by the way,
movie.
Does that in every movie. Just somehow didn't get away with it there.
I do think that people, like, on these movies feel like they're not reined in because the director's like, we're going to do this. And he's like, and I'm going to do this. And they're like, yeah, let's do it.
And also, I think that in movies like this, without any understanding of where you are or what you're doing, when it's a lot of just stuff that's going to be filled in later, you're not really, you're just making a choice and kind of just going with
it. But can I say something about this, how I didn't even think this movie failed on an aesthetic level. I just was confused the whole time. And that's the script.
I kept stopping it. I rewound it. I was like, it was hard for me to keep track of when they were in, like we said, where they were, what they were doing. And it should be essentially a simple movie to a certain thing. Like, he's bribing him to get his girlfriend
back.
And
also, maybe this is a simple-minded thing to say, but when you have that many accents working together, there is something that's like, what did they just say? It sounds crazy.
I felt like, I feel like sometimes when I see Shakespeare.
You brag so much.
I saw amazing actors doing Shakespeare. Both the girls from Two Broke Girls did Shakespeare, and I saw it and loved it.
Oh, man.
How they were billed? The two girls from Broke
Girls. I was trying to just find them weird. They're both fantastic. But here's what I was going to say. The idea, I always feel like when I watch Shakespeare for the first time, in the first 5 minutes, I'm like, what am I getting? And then it gets in. But this movie never did that click in. I was like, What? And I just never really ever found my footing after
because that. Because they make it, again, and I know we are, but immediately it's so difficult because you're like, you can't even grasp the concept that they're not brothers, that they're uncle and nephew.
It's so hard
to grasp. They don't make it easy.
But here's another review here. This one I liked because it really, and by the way, all these reviews are like five paragraphs, which is a rare thing here. And this one I like because he keeps on telling you what type of movie it is.
Awesome.
From Jay Benison. And he wrote, Gods of Egypt is a fast-moving, beautiful, fun fantasy adventure set in a mythical place full of mythical gods and mortals. And if that's your cup of tea, you'll enjoy it. He then goes on to say, this movie will either amuse or annoy you, depending on your tastes and how pedantically serious you take your fantasies. All right. And then at the very end, he continues by going, the dialogue is peppered with sardonic lines, ironic lines, and just plain funny one-liners. And if old-style adventure flicks are your guilty pleasure, then you won't be disappointed. So,
anything you want to feel about this movie is valid, according to Jay.
These are very earnest reviews, and it's been very, like, these are interesting to go through.
And not stupid, really. It's not like, I liked it, you know?
It was their thing.
They're thoughtful. Yeah.
These next two are my favorites. Here we go. This is from Nostrum. He goes like this. Truly one of the most creative interpretations of Egyptian mythology ever filmed, starting with Gerard Butler as King Leonidas of Sparta rushed in to play a bearded Set. The clever use of the talented actor playing Odin playing Horus, the lack of anyone looking remotely Egyptian. But then, what do we know? Egyptian was 1,000 years ago. Sadly, one of my favorite actors was stuck playing Ersha. I weighed him, I measured him, and I found him wanting. I like Beck. From his looks and style, he would have been an excellent Anglo-Saxon peasant. Maybe he thought he was playing one. Great special effects. Great special effects. Yes, I say that. Used to enhance the story rather than for their own sake. And last, attractive women. 5 stars.
I want to fuck that guy.
5 stars.
He hit all the buttons.
I love it. Swedish guy typed it all out, put it in free translator.
Yeah, maybe.
Then posted that.
Well, I also think you're right. He got something totally wrong here, which is also, well, first of all, he said that, like, that Gerard Butler was rushed from the set of 300, which was many years ago. So it was a slower rush. And then also that the Swedish actor playing Odin, playing Horus.
It may be Nikolai Coster-Waldau played Odin in something else.
Something Swedish.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And finally, we end on this.
I hope it's a detective show like Law & Order.
I bet it is.
This is...
Odin's beat.
This is from Donnie Stevenson, and he challenges you to look it up because he goes, I'm a combat veteran and former Special Forces soldier, so it's just not toothless morons that seek entertainment. Like this. Shove your Citizen Kane shit, because that's boring.
Whoa.
I had a great time watching Gods of Egypt. Sure, it's English white guys. Sure, it's got absolutely no basis in reality or even mythology, but it's fun. Imaginative images, monsters, magic, sights, fights, and thrills. Plus, they sold it. The actors did not break the immersion, and that's good enough for me.
Wait, the actors did not...
5 stars.
I get the immersion. $100 that guy was asleep after the first hour.
But also, break the immersion. What movie have you ever watched where they're like, I don't know.
Where they look at the camera? I see you there, combat veteran.
Look down the barrel. I don't know.
Also, don't bring up your military history as a reason for us to be on your side for everything you're about to say.
Yeah, like, I mean, I get it.
Thank you for your service.
But, like, also thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service.
My dad's a Vietnam vet. He doesn't start out every sentence with that.
Well, by the way, being a Vietnam vet has not, like, but by the way, that would be like if he reviewed a film maybe about war. He's like, hey, look, I saw this and, you know, I see what they were doing here.
Sure,
this is a movie, like, you can be anyone.
Fantasy
you could be
films.
A child. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Not like, yeah, it's like not like...
I was robbed at gunpoint, and I like this movie.
So that's what they had to say.
Oof.
Well, I guess we'll just go around real quick and say, would you recommend this movie, Jason?
I don't, you know, I...
Oh, you seem like you're struggling here. I thought you would... easily say no.
Yeah, this is a pretty big no for me. I would maybe watch 20 minutes of it just to see what we're talking about. You know, just to get a lay of the land.
And actually on YouTube, you can watch a lot of the clips of the film.
Oh,
kind of the best parts.
I would do that. I would not watch, because it is just unfathomably long. I remember being like, oh, this literally happened. I was watching and I was like, okay, I must be at least near the end. I looked, I was 40 minutes in.
I paused it so many times.
40 minutes.
At a certain part, they literally, like, the end of the movie happens, like, they defeat Gerard Butler, and I'm like, 20 more minutes?
Yeah.
And then the last shot is 3 minutes of him flying, like, and water gets on the camera.
Yes. He flies around like his metal bird character, Jamie Lannister does, and like we're all like going to be rapt to watch him fly around.
That extra 3 minutes was like probably cost like $50,000 or $75,000.
At least.
And unnecessary.
I would recommend this for clips, and I think it's a good Sunday hangover kind of, I like that.
Yeah, I feel like it's like if like Jason mistakenly did, if you catch it on HBO, stay around for like 15-20 minutes,
and you watched a handful of it, I think you'd be like, oh, I get what
this is. I actually
think
the first 15 minutes is worth seeing.
I agree. I think, yeah, because that was where it was the most, I at least understood what was going on. And then after that, because if you tune in, you may be like, well, I don't know what's happening. Just rest assured, no, I don't think anyone really does.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so that was, you know, it's, no audience, guys. I'm going to say no on this one either.
What do you
say? So, yeah.
I have a very specific situation in which you should watch this. On the airplane, you've seen every other movie that's on demand, and you have work to do.
Yeah. Oh, it's a background movie.
I think it's a background
movie. By the way, I think you're right.
Because otherwise, giving it full attention, I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
No, I was watching it with Wikipedia at certain points because I was like, I just want to make sure that I'm understanding what's happening, because I couldn't tell if I was overtired. And I was like, am I not getting it? So Wikipedia was like, sometimes I watch Game of Thrones like that too. Just kind of along to kind of see where I was at.
Totally. Oh, yeah. I'll do that.
All right. So anything that we didn't talk about that anyone wants to touch on?
I think we covered it.
I think we did. And now let's talk about your guys' tour. You guys, this will be coming out. You guys will be tomorrow night in Denver, Colorado, at the Bluebird Theater.
You know it.
And then you're heading off to Texas for a bit. Then you're going to Boston. Then you're going to New York. Then Philadelphia, D.C., North Carolina, Georgia, Canada, Michigan, Illinois, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, and then home in Los Angeles for September 30th.
And not to toot our own horns, but the North Carolina show, we're donating all the proceeds to
the UNC Chapel Hill LGBT Center.
Yeah, so we're doing that's a free show that we're
Well, definitely we can.
Gods of Egypt donated nothing to the LGBT.
You better believe it.
You can listen to your podcast wherever podcasts are downloaded or streamed. But it's throwing shade. But what do people expect at this live show?
So it's very different than the podcast in that it feels more like a stand-up show. We play games with the audiences. It's very interactive. You can go to throwingshade.com/tour for all the dates and ticket info.
And thanks so much for having us. This is so much fun.
So excited to have you here. Check out throwingshade.com.
Do you guys shoot merch into the audience with t-shirt cannons
We shoot posters.
Okay,
good. This year we have posters.
But we shoot them out of t-shirt cannons.
That's painful to the audience because you're basically throwing off hard.
Throwing paper cuts at people.
So it hurts.
Great.
Jason, you want to plug anything?
No, not really.
It's August 19th.
It's August 19th. Oh, wow. So I will I don't have anything to plug. I mean, you can follow us on Twitter on How Did This Get Made.
Yes, all of the updates, all of our new live shows and all that sort of stuff. You can follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, and you can add us to Stitcher. That's right. Make sure you make us a favorite on Stitcher. I don't know why you need to do that, but they're telling me that you have to. It probably helps with all the things that keep the lights on here. So make sure to add How Did This Get Made to your Stitcher favorites today. And
I feel like there's something
Oh, you know what I would like to plug? This is just not even a thing, but it is a thing. Katie Couric has a new podcast here at Earwolf. And she's awesome. And you should definitely check that out. So check out Katie Couric's brand new podcast over Kirk here. Kirking it up. And you know, who knows? Maybe we could have a crossover episode with Katie Couric.
Oh, my God. What can we do to make that happen?
It may be happening. You never know. Definitely check out Katie Couric's stuff. Thank you guys so much. All right, and the big announcement, of course, is that we are going on a brief sabbatical. You go on your vacations, we have babies. That's right. A paternity and maternity leave is coming up. This is our last new episode until September 9th, when a new minisode will be dropped. So I apologize for that, but it's a brief break, and we'll be back ready to go once more. Thank you guys so much for listening, and a big thanks to everyone who makes this show possible. I'm talking about Avril Halley, who pulls all these amazing clips. Nate Kiley does all of our research. Marissa Zeitz, who kind of produces this whole thing behind the scenes. Our engineer, Sam. Everybody at Earwolf, July. And you. Bye-bye. That's it. That's our show. And once again, a big thank you, a big shout out to our friends over at Sonos. That's right, Sonos is killing it in the speaker game. Here's the deal, right? You live in a house, you live in an apartment, you want to play your music, you put speakers, Sonos speakers, anywhere in your house. And then guess what? You're in your bedroom. You want to listen to a song, you pull out your iPhone, you hit your button, all your music right there coming out of your bedroom speaker. Say you're in the kitchen, hit a button, it's coming out of the kitchen speaker. Say you're working in your bedroom, but you're also working in the kitchen. Connect the speakers, they're playing in both rooms. All I'm saying is it's your music the way you want it and what room you need it. It is the best. No more connecting plugs, no more charging in, no more stations that are bulky and you need to get an adapter. Sonos is the shit. I love them. They are so, so good. Control all of your music with their fucking awesome app. I'm not even going to tell you to do anything. I'm just going to tell you, check out Sonos. If you're liking what I'm telling you, if you live in a house, it's the fucking best. If you live in an apartment, they got some great, just high quality speakers that are still good. Why, when you're in your bed in your studio apartment, why do you want to like crawl over your bed to get a cord to plug this fucking phone in? No, to shoot that shit to a speaker. It's so, so good. Oh, Sonos, thank you.
I'm Trayvon Free.
I'm Mike Drucker.
You are now in the room where it's happening,
where we geek out about the best musical of all time,
Hamilton.
Hamilton.
We'll be talking about the lyrics, the history, the production, and we've got some amazing guests. We have actress Kristen Chenoweth.
I'm rooting for you, and I'm sorry you shot him.
Comedian John Hodgman.
I ran home, and I said to my wife and two children, you have to listen to this.
Hamilton cast member Jasmine Cephas Jones.
Yo, this is amazing.
Subscribe right now, and you'll never miss an episode. Join us in the room where it's happening.
Everybody!
That's amazing.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey guys, it's Ashir
and Nicole
from Best Friends.
Our podcast has been out for a few months.
If you haven't listened to it,
you should.
We've already asked the big questions in life.
Imagine if we could lay eggs.
Okay, sure. I guess we...
Wouldn't that be fun if you could eat from yourself?
No, because that's like cannibalism.
Not when you eat yourself.
What?
Hmm?
Answer listener questions.
Hi, Nicole and Sashir. What happens if Sashir dies first? I mean, I've never thought of it.
Well,
I would be so sad.
Oh, no, Nicole. Nicole. I'm not going to die.
Take BuzzFeed quizzes. Let's pick 8 foods and we'll give you a sex position to try.
Whoa.
This is wild.
Plus, we bring on other funny best friends to talk about their friendship.
I almost want to cry. I don't know why that really made me feel emotional. But
it's because it's pure to talk about friendship.
It's nice.
It's so nice.
It's like so rare to like articulate it, but she's always there for me. Like I think she's just somebody who...
Oh, I love this. I love it so much.
Oh my God.
It's really sweet.
Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda is new every Wednesday.
On Stitcher,
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify, or wherever
you get
your
podcasts.
Listen.
Oh my God, two.
It!